Today on Maine Calling, performing arts season revs up in Maine. Theaters and other performing arts venues depend on the Maine summer season to survive, especially since the pandemic. National and local research done last year showed that audiences were still down between 20 and 50% from 2019, which was before the pandemic. But what about this year? Can performing arts organizations fill their auditoriums, outdoor spaces, theaters, and concert halls with people hungry for culture and entertainment? I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will learn about some of the many projects and productions in the works for this spring and summer in Maine. And yes, there is something for everyone. Music, dance, comedy, drama, local performers, and those with national reputations. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling On Demand is made possible in part by Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn how you can get involved at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. By Welch & Forbes, working with clients to manage the full range of events that come with building wealth, from investments to trustee services. More at WelchForbes.com. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, supporting Maine island communities through education, health, and community engagement. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. If you are looking for entertainment, there is no shortage of options to choose from in Maine, especially in the months to come. Today, we're going to hear about a sampling of the shows and events that you might want to catch in the days and weeks ahead, and we will find out generally how performing artists and organizations are faring these days. Joining me for this discussion, Molly Cashwell, who is Director of Policy and Operations with the Cultural Alliance of Maine, and Bob Keyes, Board Chair for the Maine Arts Commission and longtime arts writer, author, and storyteller. We invite you to join the conversation. Is there a performance or venue you want to let people know about? Do you want to talk about your comfort level with going to a theater in this year 2024 as we still sort of come out of the pandemic? Send us an email, talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Thank you. Welcome both of you back to Maine Calling. Bob Keyes, we've had you on Maine Calling before, but not in this role. This is a new role for you, Board Chair for the Maine Arts Commission. When did you take the helm, and what are you hoping to do?
Thanks. Yeah, it is a new role for me. I took the helm a month or two ago. I have been on the commission since I left the Press Herald, joined Colby in 2022. And I told the governor that when I left the paper, I'd be happy to join the commission. And she extended that offer and I joined. And then through the course of transition, I was asked to be the chair. And I accepted it. So I've been the chair since the spring. And in terms of what we want to accomplish, I always came at the perspective from the perspective of public service in terms of the Maine Arts Commission. Obviously, we have some grant money. We give away small grants to artists and arts organizations around the state, and those are very valuable and important. But we can do a lot more than simply give away money and grants. We should be doing a lot of service work and a lot of advocacy for the arts. And so I see my role as chair to sort of to be an advocate for the arts statewide and to talk about why the arts are important economically, culturally, and otherwise. And so I figured this would be something I can do based on the fact that I know a lot of people in Maine, and I've written about all of the arts for 20 plus years, and I'm writing about the arts a lot here at Colby and in central Maine, and I thought I had a lot to contribute.
Well, let me ask you this, Bob. As you know, probably better than anybody, Maine has long been well known because of artist colonies, because of painters who have painted places like Katahdin, that Maine has long been known as an important place for visual artists, for especially painters. And I'm wondering what you think Maine's reputation is and maybe how we need to change how we think about ourselves when it comes to performing arts.
Sure. Well, that's a great question. People have been coming to Maine, so to speak, for generations because of the performing arts and the opportunity to participate in art making in Maine. And we're talking about the upcoming summer, and certainly the summer theater tradition in Maine is very, very strong. And it goes back to the early days of summer stock theater. And Maine was the place people wanted to come to perform. And certainly Gunquit and Maine State Music Theater and places like Lakewood up near Madison have a history of bringing in big name actors and filling the theater with people who came from around the country to come see summer shows. And that tradition has evolved over the years. But there's still a lot of primarily summer focused theaters in Maine. Monmouth is among them. I mentioned Gunquit, Maine State, and Lakewood. Those are some that come to mind, but there is so much more going on in Maine in the summer now in terms of classical music, in terms of opera, in terms of mainstream popular music. You look at what's going on at Thompson's Point and Maine Savings Bank Pavilion in Bangor, but even places like Snow Pond Center for the Arts in Sydney have a full summer schedule of concerts. And there's just so many more options for people to take advantage of these days. But it does go back to that tradition of visitors coming to Maine and wanting to be entertained.
Well, turn to you, Molly. The Cultural Alliance of Maine is a pretty new organization, which did start during the pandemic. Remind us, what exactly is the role that the Cultural Alliance of Maine hopes to fill?
Yeah, absolutely. We were founded during the pandemic and the realization that it's never been more important for the cultural sector and cultural industries. Which by that we mean arts organizations, libraries, historical societies, museums, historic preservation work. It became, I think, so clear to all of us during the pandemic that gathering and, creating and getting inspired together is so crucial to the well-being of us as individuals, as communities, as an economy, as a tourism economy. So the Cultural Alliance of Maine serves as kind of an umbrella organization to advocate for cultural policy actions that will grow Maine's resilience and prosperity and belonging through support for its amazing network of cultural organizations.
Well, this time last year we were having a conversation and some new reports had just come out, both locally and nationally, showing that performing arts venues really had not healed. Had not come back, had not rebounded since the pandemic, that depending on the organization, audiences were down anywhere from 20 to 50%. And I'm wondering, Molly, here a year later, are things improving?
Well, I've been asking a lot of performing arts organizations and leaders about this very topic leading up to this show. And what I'm hearing is that audiences are really, really coming back. Finances are still in the tail end of that recovery from COVID. I mean, it was such a disaster for the performing arts field economically. So there's still, there's been a gradual financial recovery. Audiences are really excited about seeing shows. But what has also happened alongside that, right about 2022, when programming resumed in full swing, expenses, as we all know, had gone up just like they had for so many businesses. But you can't just necessarily pass that on in ticket prices in all cases. Performing arts organizations are really working hard to be accessible to Mainers of all financial capacities and in really innovative ways sometimes. So what we're seeing is that it's just been a bit slower than maybe a traditional business where you would just like pass it directly on to the consumer, like our eggs and our milk. So that's, I think, the story right now is that audiences are back, shows are incredible. And it's just, we're kind of still getting through the impact of COVID.
Yeah, Bob.
Yeah, I'd like to add on to that. Molly, what you said tracks exactly with what we're hearing at the Maine Arts Commission. Audiences are coming back and there is a lot of interest in going back to shows, but the economics are falling behind. I think what we're hearing is the arts in many ways are still in a bit of a pandemic crisis where audiences are coming back, but those expenses, as Molly said, are so different now than they were before. The equations have changed and the way some of these organizations have to approach balancing their budgets will probably have to change as well. I want to mention and call attention to a story the Bangor Daily News did a few weeks ago about the Penobscot Theater in Bangor. They're facing a deficit this year of a couple hundred thousand bucks and trying to make adjustments to plan for the future. And it's an interesting situation because they're trying to do programming that appeals to new audiences and trying to quote unquote grow their audiences to diversify the kinds of shows that they're bringing in to attract different kinds of people. And it's a learning process and a growing process. And I think it's important that people know that while the economy is doing well generally post-pandemic, so to speak, the arts and particularly the performing arts are lagging behind still. And that is not necessarily a plea to go and buy tickets to support the shows, but as much as it is to understand that everything is not rosy and those tickets really do make a difference.
You know, and we are hoping to hear from the Penobscot Theater later in the program. So thanks for mentioning that, Bob. All right. So let's start with some recommendations. We're going to have a lot of time for this. A lot of people calling in. Bob, I'm going to turn to you first. What are you especially excited about right now?
Well, right now, a show that's just opening this week at Portland Stage, it's a co-production between Portland Stage and Dramatic Repertory Theater. And that's Angels in America, the Tony Kushner play, about the AIDS crisis. And it's a very, very strong local cast. And what's interesting, well, two things that are interesting. One, this is a partnership between two theater companies, which is something we are seeing more of going forward, just shared expenses, shared risk, opportunity to collaborate artistically. Sometimes you get a lot more out of that. So you have two companies participating in a co-production, which is very interesting and exciting. And also they're actually doing this piece in two parts. Part one is the spring, and they're going to do part two this fall. So I find that to be a very novel approach to programming. And I applaud both of those organizations for innovating and trying different things. And it's an important show. It's an important play that's been out for a long time. And I don't know when it has last been in Maine, but I think there's a lot of interest in that, and that's a show that I'm eager to see. And that's early summer. That opens this week, so it's a pre-summer kickoff.
All right, you'll have a chance to recommend more too, Bob. Molly, what are you really excited about right now?
Well, I will shout out something down east near where I live. At the Opera House Arts at the Stonington Opera House, they're going to be producing the world premiere of a new play by Lena Kaminsky, which is called Salvage. And it's a fantastic take on small towns, how we connect with strangers, and the setting of the play, as I understand, all takes place at the town dump, which, as we all know, is an extremely important piece of local Maine. So that runs from June 20th to the 30th.
I just love that premise, an entire play that takes part at the town dump. That's just terrific. That already makes me want to see it. We're going to turn now to Bradford Kenny, who's Executive Artistic Director for the Ogunquit Playhouse. Thanks so much for calling in, Brad.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I want to ask you, because I know that you had just resounding success with the musical about Carole King, Beautiful, last year, so much so that you brought it back for sort of a second season. And I'm wondering if that show and others were able to help the Ogunquit Theater perhaps not have the story as so many performing arts organizations. Are you doing okay?
Yeah, we're doing great. As a matter of fact, we were very calculated in that season, I believe it was 22, that we in 21 we went into a tent and kept going. We had world premieres, kept producing at our regular level, but outdoors. And we knew coming into 22, as there were different COVID things and the world was still kind of figuring itself out, we actually changed some of the programming to the end of the year, to your point, and specifically had the regional premiere. We brought the sets and costumes over from London. I mean, we just did it, and it really helped drive audiences back. We knew we had to drive them back in. But this year, for 24, we've got more world premieres and some big shows, even a little nostalgia with the Gershwins. But our numbers are currently at 2018, 2019 level. So that's huge.
Wow. Well, tell us about that's wonderful and congratulations. Tell us about some of the shows coming up.
Sure. So we're about to open. We are in final tech right now with Waitress. It's Sarah Bareilles' of course, Broadway and worldwide hit. We've refusing the Broadway and touring elements with their big resident director around the globe, but creating a brand new production of Waitress here at Agunquit. So all these first class kind of global elements, but then customized in like a bespoke way with this great Sarah Bareilles score. Star of the West End, Desi Oakley, is here to lead the cast. But Kostin Mayer, who are big, like 6 million follower social media icons, they're choreographing their first Broadway musical with us here. So we're fusing everything people, if they know Waitress, what you may love about it, but in an entirely new organic way. We even had a big pie fair contest, pie eating contest, pie making contest last weekend. So really trying to bring the campus to life with this show. And then we're going on to Crazy for You with Susan Stroman's team here. That's that, of course, wonderful Gershwin musical. Max Clayton, who was a star of Singing in the Rain and the Music Man on Broadway with Hugh Jackman, is here to lead that company. Sally Struthers will return in Crazy for You. But to honor Soundtime, our first big Soundtime musical, Little Night Music, is being done by Hunter Foster, big revolving automatic stage. You'll probably see some big TV and film stars join that cast. And Little Shop of Horrors. I should jump to the end of the season. At the end, another big world premiere for Maine, My Best Friend's Wedding, the famous Julia Roberts film, is going to make its world premiere at Agunquit this year as a new musical for global.
Sounds
for
so fun. Well, Bradford, before we let you go, I understand the Agunquit Playhouse issued an economic impact report recently. What are some of the key findings?
I think one of the biggest, certainly for the folks across the state, is that this one playhouse has an annual impact on the state of Maine direct cash of $21.5 million. And it's, you know, that is driving on our county about $15 to $17 million, but over $21 million just by this one building alone, 100,000 visitors to it are driving that. And so when people think of the arts and their cultural factors, this report, you know, particularly speaks on how a cultural beacon like that will literally affect the local economy, not only culturally, but in dollars.
And Brad, when you talk about economic impact, are you talking about people staying at inns, eating at restaurants?
Everywhere, from a gas station to restaurants to a convenience store to all of it. They were able to track over $21 million in one season alone in all those different ways, literally driving the businesses in the area. And on the state, that's state level. So that's showing some of these key, you know, leading regional either theaters or cultural institutions are getting people to actually enter our state and then driving spending.
Well, Brad, thanks so much for calling in. Brad Kenny is with the Agunquit Playhouse, and we are going to take a quick break. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today, we're learning about the world of performing arts in Maine. With me, Bob Keyes, who is an arts writer and author and board chair for the Maine Arts Commission, and Molly Cashwell, co-director of the Cultural Alliance of Maine. You can share your comments and questions by email, talk@mainepublic.org. You can comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Let's see. So many emails coming in. Where do we start? We will start here with Alexander with Sea Glass Performing Arts. The Sea Glass Chorale, based in Kennebunk, a non-auditioned adult choral group of 60 voices that represents 20 Southern Maine communities. Upcoming concert, Sing On, a celebration of harmony and song. Two concerts this season at Kennebunk High School, and May 24th and May 25th. So those are coming right up. So, Bob, we don't need to wait until summer to see some of the good stuff.
That's right. Yeah, that's, you know, we live in a state now where things happen year round. There is no off season for the arts in Maine. Winter, summer may be busier, but winter is extremely busy. In fact, I think people who are living in Maine and who appreciate the arts treat the arts some way the food scene treats food. You know, you don't go to necessarily the popular restaurants in the summer. You wait till the off season and go. And that's the way Maine is with the arts these days. There's something to do year round.
Dancer Sarah Julie shares this on Instagram. my new dance theater comedy. Dance theater comedy. I've never read those words together before. Naughty Bits is being presented by the Heal Arts in Portland this Thursday and Friday, May 9th and 10th, about reclaiming one's body and mind to find peace. And another dance show at Hill Arts, Vivid Motion Dance, sent an email about their spring show, which merges folklore, history, and dance. It celebrates the life of Irish pirate queen Grania. The show opens Friday, May 17th at the Hill Arts in Portland. And Molly, dance has become something that Maine is a bit known for, especially with the Bates Dance Festival.
Absolutely. No, we're so lucky that we have what Bates brings into Maine is really, really stunning. It's hard to explain, I think, in a lot of ways, the power of seeing what is somebody's capable of doing on stage. It's like seeing athletics and artistry at the same time. Up in on Acadia, there's also the Acadia Dance Festival, which so that's something to look forward to as well this summer. So we are extremely fortunate.
Let's see here. Here's an email from Tilly at the Maine History Center. We have some events associated with our Music in Maine exhibit called Beer in the Garden, where musicians will perform in the Longfellow Garden, and we serve local beer. People can check out Maine History for more information, mainhistory.org. The events feature Robert Sylvain playing Acadian music on July 11th, Jesse Mallory, an Elvis tribute performer on August 8th, and Roll and Go singing sea shanties on September 12th. So thank you for that email. Calling in now is, let's see here, we have Kurt Dale Clark, who's Artistic Director for the Maine State Music Theater. Hi, Kurt, and thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
I understand that your strategy includes some classic musicals this season. Tell us about them.
Absolutely. We open the summer season with Rodgers and Hammerstein's South Pacific. It will be a lush production, true telling of their version of the South Pacific story, and super excited to present it. It hasn't been here since 2006, which is pretty exciting to bring it back. We then move on to Funny Girl. We've got the only rights in the country this year to produce Funny Girl at the professional level after it closed on Broadway in its recent run. And we've snagged a fantastic young woman from Los Angeles, California to play Fanny Bryce. She's going to blow people away. We then move to the first time ever in our history. We're doing a Christmas in July and presenting White Christmas, which should be really awesome because we never get to present the Christmas titles because we're a summer theater and we just decided to take the plunge and people are really going for it. I told everyone to celebrate the Christmas they missed last year, celebrate the Christmas they know they're going to miss this coming year, or just have a second Christmas. And people are really, really going for that. And then we close out the season with the massive hit, the Carole King musical, Beautiful the Musical. It's the music of Carole King and Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil.
Well, let me ask
and
you
Jerry.
how things are going at the Maine State Music Theater. Are you seeing, the pandemic hangover? Are you experiencing that? Or are you doing okay?
We are not. We have been. We're still not back to our 2018, 2019 levels, but we are definitely making another major step this year. So I'd say we're about 5% behind where we were in the past. And the momentum is carrying right now to where we could catch up this year if enough people buy tickets.
Well, good luck with that. And I'm wondering, before we let you go, any overall trends in audiences or audience behaviors, anything that's kind of different now?
They are definitely buying later than they used to buy. I think part of that is a function of having bought tickets during the pandemic and then having the shows canceled and people nervous about that, but we'll basically do anything we can to keep from canceling a show these days because of that sort of lack of trust from the public. But last year we did get through the entire season, and this year the COVID restrictions have sort of been completely erased even by the union. So It looks like we shouldn't have to cancel anything. Knock on wood. Let's hope we don't go through anything like that ever again. And hopefully we can keep moving forward into what the new future is and get it as close to what the old numbers used to look like.
Well, thanks so much for calling in. That was Kurt Dale Clark with Maine State Music Theater. So many calls coming in. We'll go to Ian calling from Mayo Street Arts. Hi, Ian. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. I am calling to talk not about our regular season, which runs from September through June, but about a special event we have coming up in September called Puppets in Portland, which is a biennial citywide international festival of puppetry arts. And from September 13th through the 22nd this year, we'll blanket the entire peninsula down here in Portland, collaborating with community partners to present seven different artists from around the globe at five different venues across town.
Well, that sounds really fun. Thanks for calling in, Ian, and telling us about Puppets in Portland.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks. And we'll move to Aaron calling from Westbrook. Hi, Aaron. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for the show. I'm calling about a group that performs every first Friday in Portland, Maine, called the Teller's Garden. We are a playback theater company that performs at the Portland Media Center, and we honor people's true stories through improvisation. It's a one-of-a-kind show. Every show is unique, and I also do this online for those who don't feel comfortable coming out. And those shows are available over Zoom, and you can learn more on my website, erincurran.com.
Well, Aaron, thanks so much for calling in, and we'll look out for you at First Friday. We have an email here from Jamie. I want to let listeners know about two terrific shows this summer at City Theater on Main Street in Biddeford. First is the classic Agatha Christie Whodunit, and Then There Were None. That opens this Friday and runs through May 26th. Later in the summer, City Theater will present Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma. It opens Friday, July 19th and runs through Sunday, August 4th. More information and tickets available at citytheater.org. Come and enjoy the shows. It strikes me reading this email, Molly, and hearing from Maine State Music Theater that there's no lack of ambition. There's no, there are theaters saying, what the heck? We're going to have a big cast and just go for it.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think what everybody's playing for is that, you know, if somebody's trying something for the first time or maybe visiting the theater for the first time in a few years, I mean, if you wow them, you know, if you give them all the belly laughs and the spectacle, I mean, it's impossible not to come back and it's impossible not to bring friends and bring your family. So I think it's fantastic seeing all of the ambitious things coming to the stage. There may also be things that were pent up during the pandemic that are finally getting their moment. So.
We're going to go now to April Virch, who's calling in from the Acadian Festival. April, tell us about the Acadian Festival. Where is it and when and what kinds of performances do you focus on?
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. The Acadia Festival of Traditional Music and Dance is a week-long festival, and this year it takes place from June 23rd to the 29th. And it's three-part in a way. We have full-time registration, which includes everything, mornings, afternoons, evening concerts. And those morning intensive classes build on each other. So people that are coming to like really delve into their instrument or dance sort of sign up for everything. In the afternoon, our workshop programming is available to people who just want to drop in and not kind of come for the whole week, but they see something that catches their eye and they can come and join us for an afternoon workshop. And then the third part of it is our evening concert series, which is available to anyone that wants to come for all of the evening concerts or just one of them, and they feature our amazing faculty. So there's lots of ways for people to kind of get involved in the level and the parts that interest them the most, whether that's playing an instrument and dancing or, you know, just coming to watch and listen.
And this is in Bar Harbor, correct?
Yeah, at the College of the Atlantic in Bar Harbor. So it's a beautiful, beautiful location, and Some of our events are outdoors as well, which, you know, for people that are still really having to be conscious of being indoors, that allows a few more people to participate too.
All right. And I understand you have a pretty good a story about how it got started. Tell us about that.
Well, the festival has been going for a long time. Our festival founder, Chuck Donnelly, decided to start things back in 2011, and it started small and it grew, and more people got involved. And then things kind of tied up right before the pandemic. And so we're newly imagined, a new team. Last year was our first year back, but there is quite a long history and quite a community that's involved with the festival. And in a lot of ways, it feels like a family reunion because so many people have enjoyed and taken part over the years.
Well, April, thank you so much for calling in with the Acadia Festival in Bar Harbor. Thank you for telling us about that. I'm going to go to an email from Ted. Ted writes, a great opportunity for some great opera, Puccini's Madame Butterfly at the Waterville Opera House, May 25th, 12:55 a.m. This is a Met production, is simply wonderful, an opportunity for those who might not think of opera. Bob, this is in your backyard. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, a couple points. First of all, the Waterville Opera House is an amazing space to see a performance. I've been up here now recently a couple of years, had a chance to go to many shows in there. I've enjoyed the theater productions and also just a great space for concerts. They got a couple coming up. John Hyatt is coming up in June, I believe, and Dave Mallett's coming back and whatnot. But the email mentioned opera, and I do want to mention Opera Maine's production of Aida at Merrill Auditorium this summer. That's a great show. And when I started writing about the arts in Maine, I had zero experience with opera. I had never been, and I had probably held some of those stereotypes in my head about why I might not enjoy opera. And I have to say, after attending some of the early performances in my tenure as arts writer at Merrill, I was absolutely converted to, I don't know if I'd call myself an opera lover because it's a pretty specialized art form, but I certainly appreciate opera in ways I never have before. And I encourage people who are listening to take advantage of the opera that is coming to Maine this summer with Maine Opera, but elsewhere across the state. There's a lot of it, and it's such an emotional, dramatic, and fully engaging art form. It's just, it consumes your whole body sometimes. It's so much fun.
Molly.
Just want to round out the opera shout outs. Opera in the Pines will be doing The Crucible, which is an opera based on the play by Arthur Miller. That's going to be in Standish at the Old Red Church later this month, maybe even in the next couple of weeks. So just for all the opera lovers out there, lots of choices.
All righty. Let's see here. I think we'll go to Jeanette, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Jeanette. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on. I'm calling you from Portland here in the Maine Youth Circus. We are a very new nonprofit that teaches a sort of social circus or circus for everyone of physical or financial abilities here in Portland at the Breakwater School. And we're having our first show May 18th at 7 p.m.
Well, thanks so much for calling in. And Jeanette, I'll say to you what I'm going to hope that everybody who has a great event will do, which is to go to Maine Public's community calendar. Just search that on a search engine, Maine Public Community Calendar. You can enter information about the event yourself. And if you're interested in trying to find something fun, you can go there as well. We are going to take a quick break. We are talking about performing arts in Maine. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a quick email to talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. We're discussing performing arts in Maine. My guest today, Molly Cashwell with the Cultural Alliance of Maine, and Bob Keyes with the Maine Arts Commission. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566. Or if you're quick, you can post to social media or send us an email, talk@mainepublic.org. On the line with us now, Shoshona Currier, who is director of the Bates Dance Festival. Thanks so much for calling in, Shawnee, and tell us about the Bates Dance Festival and what the overall goal of it is.
So thanks for having me, Jennifer. Hi, Molly. Hi, Bob. We're really excited about the festival this summer. It is running the performances from July 12th to August 2nd, and it is on the Bates College campus primarily and in a few other locations in Lewiston. And this is a contemporary dance festival. We are in our 42nd year, and we have dance performances from nationally renowned dance companies, music concerts, free events, and also there is a dance training program that takes place the entire summer as well.
So can anyone take part, or does one have to be a professional dancer in the classes?
So we do have a professionals program. We also have a day camp for children, and that's called our Youth Arts Program, and that's for kids ages 6 to 17. And then we also have drop-in classes available. It's all on our website at batesdancefestival.org. And for those drop-in classes, those really are all level. And then for other free outdoor events, we have a concert on July 17th with the Portland-based group Bondeco. And we have other kind of free panel discussions throughout the entire time. Oh, and we also actually have a hip-hop battle this summer. And so if you are a hip-hop dancer, if you're a breaker, you can sign up for that. You can register online, and that'll be an all-day battle on Saturday, July 27th. And we have incredible national hip-hop judges coming in for that.
Oh, super fun. Well, Shawnee, thanks so much for calling in. Shawnee Currier with the Bates Dance Festival. Going now to Jess Sang, who is the program manager for One Beat. Well, let's just start with the question, Jess. What is One Beat?
Sure. One Beat is a music exchange. Also, thank you for having us. One Beat is a music exchange sponsored by the U.S. Department of State, the Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs. We bring 25 different musicians who are also change makers in their own right to the U.S. for a two-week residency program, and then we tour them throughout a specific region of the U.S. every year. That region changes, and this is our first time in the Northeast. So we're touring through New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and our final destination is Bath, Maine.
Wow. So how many shows in Maine? And is it only the Bath show, or are there others as well?
So we've done a couple shows throughout New Hampshire, and Bath is actually our only main performance. We'll be at the Chocolate Church on May 10th at 7 p.m., and this will be the culminating performance of the residency, showcasing all of the different collaborative works that the artists have made in their three-week period.
Well, Kyla, thank you so much for calling in. Excuse me, Jess, thank you for calling in. Jess with One Beat and Found Sound Nation. And Molly, I'm going to turn to you and ask you what else is going on out there that's sort of special like One Beat, and that this is your chance this summer to see this thing?
That's a great question. I mean, I could tell you about something that's new this year. And so I think, you know, it'll be exciting to see the first iteration of it. There'll be a number of performances taking place at the Abbey Museum's Donland Festival of Art and Ideas, which is taking place on the College of the Atlantic campus. You'll be able to see performances by Firefly the Hybrid, who's Penobscot, and they'll be visiting artists, including Jennifer Kreisberg, who's Tuscarora, Hawk Henrys, who also lives in Maine, who's Nipmuc, and JJ Otero, who's Navajo. So that will be really a special kind of launch of a new era of how the Abbey Museum is bringing amazing artists and Indigenous artists to Maine.
Ooh, and when is that?
Oh, I'm sorry, of course. It's July 12th to 14th.
Great, wonderful. We'll go to Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth, go ahead.
Hi, great to call in really briefly. I just wanted to spread the word. I'm the programming director for Palaver Strings. We're a Portland-based chamber orchestra and nonprofit, and we have an album coming out this month. It's coming out on the 24th, and it's all protest music in collaboration with the incredible tenor Nicholas Pond and also Boston-based jazz vocalist Farai Malik. They're both incredible. And yeah, it's streaming everywhere on the 24th, but we also have a couple of singles out already. Fiddle in the Drum by Joni Mitchell and a Harry Burley piece called Lovely, Dark, and Lonely One. And the last thing I'll mention is that we mostly take the summers off from performing, but we will be performing for a whole week at Bay Chamber Concert Screen Door Festival in August. And we're really looking forward to that. There will be lots of collaborations, but also a program of all Palaver music, also featuring the incredible oboist James Austin Smith. So an exciting thing to look forward to.
And Elizabeth, to be clear, the Bay Chamber concerts are in the Midcoast area, Camden Rockport, correct?
Yes. Yeah. And it's really exciting. They're actually celebrating the opening of their new building in August. So it will be a brand new hall that's been completely done for them. And it's opening in August. Yeah. So that's really exciting. Right in Camden.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much for calling in. Elizabeth's calling from Palaver Strings. We will go to Jennifer calling from Saco. Hi, Jennifer. Go ahead.
Hi there. Great to be on the air. Thanks for taking our phone call. Just wanting to promote my youth company, CMAC Dance Company. We are based out in Saco, and we have a performance coming up on May 18th at 6 p.m., and what's exciting about this performance is that the students do a benefit performance where they get to choose a local nonprofit where all the proceeds will go to. And they chose Radical Project Relief, which is a Maine nonprofit that helps promote racial equality.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. And I'm going to tell you what I told another caller. Please be sure and go onto the Maine Public Community Calendar and post information. We are hoping to hear from somebody from Penobscot Theater Company, hoping for a call, but we do have an email. By now, many in our community have heard the news regarding the financial crisis Penobscot Theater Company and other theaters worldwide are facing. We've been overwhelmed with supportive messages from patrons, and they have some upcoming fundraisers and they have a giving day, May 14th. But the bottom line is that since that word got out, people have been stepping forward. And Bob, I'm wondering if that might be the case with other organizations, if people really knew how this valued asset was in trouble, if the story might be a little different.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think as with any organization, transparency is the key. And I think when arts organizations are open and forthright with their patrons about the situation that they face and what's at stake, people respond. I think the Penobscot Theater Company is a beloved theater company. It's a great tradition and people don't want to see it going away. And I think they value the programming they're providing. And it is a credit to the Bangor newspaper for telling that story. It's not an easy story to tell, but it's an important story to tell. Community, professional theater, our professional theaters are important in our communities, as are our community theaters, and they all deserve support. And obviously these are difficult times and people have to make choices, but when you support the arts in your community, you are supporting Main Street businesses as much as the proverbial hardware store and the old, pharmacy and whatnot. These are organizations that provide jobs to Mainers, provide jobs to artists in Maine, and provide a lot of entertainment. It's not just about our entertainment, but it's about allowing artists to live and work in Maine, quite frankly. So when you buy a ticket to a show, you're doing so much more than just supporting that organization in that moment. You're enabling them to sustain themselves over long term. And that has a broad ripple effect across our communities.
I have an email here from Gail. Our beautiful historic theater in Harrison, Maine has been a jewel of the Lakes region since 1936, when it was built as an acoustically perfect opera house. I've been the executive and artistic director since 2020 and came in during a very challenging time for our theater. Deer Trees was able to stay open during the pandemic, largely because we have a unique theater that is open to the main air and woods. Our large back doors were actually featured in the movie White Christmas. Audiences have been strong for the past few years, and some of the special productions that they're doing in 2024 on Golden Pond in June, The Producers in July, Monsters, a midlife musical meltdown in August, and Dark Side of Somewhere Dance Immersion. So thank you so much and good luck to you for calling in. Let's see, we are going to go to Dana calling from Saco River Theater. Hi, Dana, go ahead.
Hey there, nice to talk to you. That was fast, much appreciated. What a wonderful show. I wanted to just do a quick shout out of thanks for our recent production of A Murder is Announced, Agatha Christie, which was pretty much full of happy audience members, which is really exciting. Upcoming on the theater front, we have Noel Coward's Private Lives this summer. And this weekend, our own Jennifer Porter's CD release party for her recent album, Yes, I Do, which has been topping blues charts, doing really well. And we have Low Lily, a wonderful folk group, coming up May 18th, and the Don Roy Trio with the Arnotts on May 24th. And looking ahead, we've got some great Zydeco music coming in the summer and some one man and one woman theater events in the fall to look forward to as well. Want to send greetings and positive vibes to all performing arts organizations in our state. Wonderful, tough times. But so much support from so many places, and we appreciate it very much.
All right. Well, Dana, thanks so much for calling in. I want to be sure and get to Dwayne Toma calling in from Perry. Hi, Dwayne. Nice to hear from you.
How are you? Very nice to have me. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Tell us what you want to tell people about for this coming season.
Well, this coming season, we got a lot going on. We've got storytelling in Eastport, Maine. We're also really, I just want to thank all the viewers for supporting a lot of the efforts that we're doing. And it's really an honor to be able to work with people and come together and collaborate and really, really bringing people together and uniting people and getting people to understand, historical components when it comes to Indigenous issues and many other issues. So I'm really, really an honor to be able to share that with people.
Dwayne, are you performing for public audiences anytime soon? Because I think if anybody has never seen you tell stories, they need to.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. Thank you very much. Like I say, we'll be doing it in Eastport, Maine. And also, they can contact me, and I'd love to come to their organizations or in their schools, because I really want to reach out, to the nearby communities and extend our hand and our welcome, because that's so important.
Well, it is so nice to hear from you, Dwayne, and I hope you have a wonderful summer. Thanks for calling into Maine Calling today. I think I can squeeze in one more call going to Susie from the Denmark Art Center. Hi, Susie, go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. And if Molly is there from Cultural Alliance Maine, hello to you, too.
Hi.
I wanted to share that small rural towns are just now, I shouldn't say just now, but are slowly coming up to acknowledge and celebrate Pride. And we are, too, our very first one on June 22nd. And it's a celebration in the park with Ophelia, we'll have drag queens and story hour. Ophelia Johnson's going to be there, Tasha Tech Tight and Chartreuse Money. And then in the evening, we'll have them burlesque. But in the park, we'll have fun things, and it's free for everyone. We'll have a pronoun buttons booth. We'll have a pop-up clothing boutique, story time, house music throughout, and then a couple of speakers to join us. And we're psyched and just want everyone to come out and celebrate.
Well, Susie, thanks so much for calling in and telling us about that. And I'll add, I'll say, please go to the Maine Public Community Calendar and add information about the event. Almost out of time, but Molly, we've heard just a little tip of the iceberg, but boy, a lot of variety there in this hour.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to flag one last show coming up or opportunity to see performances. The Mi'kmaq Nation will be having their 30th Maui Omi of Tribes in the third weekend of August. And that's a wonderful opportunity to see drumming, dancing, festival. It's a festival of vendors, craft, art. And they're also going to be, I've heard, featured in Down East Magazine's Best of Maine. So you can say you heard it here first.
Well, thank you both for being with us for the hour. Bob, congratulations on your new responsibility as board chair for the Maine Arts Commission. Bob Keyes, longtime arts writer, journalist, author, and now board chair for the Maine Arts Commission. And Molly Cashwell, co-director of the Cultural Alliance of Maine. Today's sound engineer was Jane Donahue. We had additional help from Allison New. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. You can always find past shows or sign up for our weekly newsletter, which is free and comes out every Friday, at mainecalling.org. Anyone signed up, eligible for a mystery book bundle. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to discuss the startup culture and entrepreneurship in Maine. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.